the Urim Tumim. One of the most mysterious parts of Parshas Tetzaveh. And as a matter of fact, subject to fascinating machlokas of Rishonim, I'd love to, it's a very, very pretty Ramban, I'd love to spend a few minutes learning together. Perek Chaf Ches Pasuk Lamed. V'nosato choshen ha-mishpat es ha-urim ves ha-tumim. You're going to put the Urim and the Tumim into the Choshen. And as the Ramban begins to unpack this pasuk, unfurl this pasuk, you see so many aspects of classic Ramban technique coming to bear. Sober Rabbi Avraham lehischakein beinyan haurim vehatumim. Rabbi Avraham, that's Ibn Ezra, Rabbi Avraham Ibn Ezra, thought that he could be a real smart, he could be really smart. That's there's a very strong angle of sarcasm in the word lehischakein, means to try to be smart about the Urim V'Tumim. In other words, the Rabban is saying, the Ibn Ezra thought he had a brilliant idea, and I don't think it's brilliant at all. I don't think it holds any water. What did Rabbi Avraham think? It's some sort of metalwork. It's something made of silver, something made of gold. There's a lengthy Ibn Ezra about this. Ki chashav shehem al hatsuros sheyasu ba'ei kochavim la'das machsheves hashoel. Sounds like some astro. It's some type of device. It's similar to an astrological device. You go to tarot card readers and crystal ball gazers. So they have all sorts of devices and gizmos and gadgets that they use to supposedly predict the future. So Ibn Ezra said there must have been some sort of, some device of that sort made out of precious metals, and that's what this Urim V'Tumim is. The Lo Amar Klum. Rabban says he didn't say anything of value. He goes, Ibn Ezra goes on and on and on. Absolutely not. Avalhim Kedivei Rashi. It's like what Rashi says. K'sav Shal Shema Mefurosh Nosun Ben Kifli HaChoshen. Rashi says, so much so that we take it for granted. Yeah, well, no, Urim V'Tumim was some sort of writing that was put into the folds of the Choshen. Because the Choshen, the Chumash tells us, was a rectangular piece of cloth folded in half to make a square. So once it's folded in half to make a square, you have a little pocket in there. So what did they put in the pocket? The Urim V'Tumim. What were the Urim V'Tumim? So we take as a Davar Pasha. Everyone knows it was some sort of something written on a piece of parchment. Because Rashi said it. But the truth is, as soon as you learn the Ramban, as soon as you learn the Ibn Ezra, you realize no one ever told us what Urim V'Tumim is. We just took it for granted. But it's a good question. What were these Urim V'Tumim? And one more thing to bear in mind. Gemara Numa talks about five items that were lacking in the second Beis HaMikdash. Five items you had in the first Beis HaMikdash lacking in the second Beis HaMikdash. What were these five items? So different sources in Chazal have different lists of five items. The Talmud Bavli, Maseches Yuma, I believe, mentions that the, as we talked about Thursday night, the Aron, Mishnayos and Yuma say explicitly, the Aron was not there in the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the second Beis HaMikdash, as we discussed Thursday night, Machlokas and Daf Nun Gimel, either it moved vertically or horizontally, either it was in advance of the sack of Yerushalayim by Nebuchadnezzar, it was already put by Yoshio deep in the subterranean chambers, the labyrinth, in the cellar of the Beis HaMikdash, and that's the Rambam Paskins. The other approach in Tanan was, it moved horizontally, it wasn't put away, Nebuchadnezzar came, took it with him back northeastward to Babel. So that's one item that's definitely missing, is the Aron. Another item that the Gemara mentions as missing in the second Beis HaMikdash was the Urim, the Tumim. It's worth on trying to understand why it was missing. Also worth trying to understand, how could it be missing? I mean, they also may have carted away the menorah. They may have carted away the shulchan. So what, they destroyed the whole first Beis HaMikdash. So what happened when they built the second Beis HaMikdash? They made new things. So you wonder, why didn't they make a new Aron? Why didn't they make new Urim V'Tumim? A. B, what do you mean? How could they not make an Urim V'tumim? After all, Kohen Gadol, a Kohen who is not wearing all the begadim, is not kasher lavod, mechusar begadim. So, he's missing one of his begadim. What's going on? Unless it wasn't a beged. Wasn't a beged. So what was it? The whole thing's mysterious. Let's take a look. He says, it's like, it's a Rambam, because it returns to Rambam. He says, Rashi tells us, Ksav shel shem ha-mefurash, Nosun ben kifle ha-choshen. The shem Hashem was written on a piece of parchment, stuck into the choshen, into the folds. The kachu tzrich lias kafel, that's why the choshen was made as a rectangular piece of cloth folded over, so you would have a pocket. The haraya. Now he says, you know how you know? Ki lo nizkru umvetumim kol b'maiso umanim. Lo hizkirim lem b'tzava, v'lo b'masa kol. You hear about the umvetumim only to Moshe Rabbeinu. If you start paying attention to all the twists and turns, Moshe conveys information to, in Vayakov, over the course of Vayakov Pikudei, Moshe shares the instructions he got from HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Mitzavah with the Umanim, with the team that are going to be making the Mishkan, the Big Day Kahuna, and then they actually make it. See, Ramban says, you never hear about it again. You don't hear about it in the Tzava, nor in the Maaseh. You never hear about the Umatumim when Moshe instructs Betzal and the workers, nor do you hear about them actually making it. And we do hear details by the Begadim, or part of the Begadim, Vayasasa Eifa, Vayasasa Choshen, but not Vayasasa Urim V'atumim. The Elohaya Maisa Charesh V'chacham, if this is some sort of expert metalwork, Haya Marech Behem Yosem Menakol. If it's as the Ibn Ezra said, we should have heard a lot about them, even more than the rest. V'im Ulai Yirtze L'katzer Behem La'om Kam, you'll tell me, we don't want to get into details because this is so Kabbalistically profound. So if the Torah didn't want to get into details, you should have at least heard, make them out of pure gold, out of pure silver, as you were shown to do. Something, the way you hear by some of the other items. And then he says, here's another nekuda. Otashu, and it just heightens our sensitivity to learning Chumash, the psukim, with open eyes. What do you see? The same way you've been trained to learn a Rambam, to notice what he says and to notice what he doesn't say, to notice how he says it, and what gets left out. So, presumably the original Mishnah Torah and the other four Chumashim also deserve at least as much care and focus as the Rambam's Mishnah Torah. So you notice where it's missing, and you notice when it is mentioned, how it's mentioned. Otashuv te'eh, now look back at when the Umratumim are mentioned. Lo hizkir behei hayidia echen nikol hakelim shel nizkru kvar. The first time you hear a kli, it's not the, it's a. The asu aron. The first time you have the aron, it says make an aron. Later on, we'll say the aron, because we already mentioned it. But the first time is v'asu, not ha'aron, v'asu aron, v'asisa shulchan, v'asisa menoras, etc., etc., etc. The Mishkan, it says, es ha'mishkan tasa, yeah, b'avur shekvar hizkiru, v'ahish hizkira, because by the way, mentioned, v'asu li mikdash. But the first time an item is mentioned, there's no hay, all of a sudden here, v'urim etumim, v'nas hata choshen ha'mishpat es ha'urim es hatumim, the urim etumim. Which urim and tumim? You didn't tell me that then yet. Which one? Well, see, also Basiyasa. Never told me how to make them. Just get a hey idea. And as I said before, let's give our cousin Rav Moshe Lada. Only Moshe. And even when it's being done, at the end of Chumash, he tells it to look in Parashat Sav.
Only Moshe is the one who handles them. Ki lo hayu ma'isa uman. V'lo hayu umanim v'lo l'kayus ol behem ma'isa v'lo nedava klal. The Jewish people had no one other than Moshe had anything to do with them. No one donated toward them. No one did anything to make them. Heim sod masur le Moshe epi ha'gvuravu kesavam b'kedusha. Wow.
says it was this was a Kabbalistic secret that Kadosh Baruch Hu transmitted to Moshe Rabbeinu. He wrote it b'kedusha v'hayu ma'isa shamayim. Where it tells you on the bottom, oh hayu ma'isa shamayim. Either Moshe got direct instruction on Har Sinai how to write them and he wrote them, or he got them as a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the first Luchas, or the second Luchas for that matter. And that's why we never give you the details, and yet B'yidia mean B'hei HaYidia, the Urim V'tumim. Kemo, V'yashkein Mikenim L'gayin Eden is HaKeruvim, the Keruvim. Which Keruvim? We haven't heard about them yet. All of a sudden it's the Keruvim. Yeah, because these are celestial items. Kadosh Baruch Hu made the Keruvim. As an aside, by the way, in the course of developing Urim V'Tumim, the Ramban just made an incredibly large and important point about how we look at Torah in general. Because this is an example of a reference to Torah Shebichtav to Torah Sheba'al Peh. And this is a reference in the Chumash that there were things, that there were conversations that Kadosh Baruch Hu had with Moshe Rabbeinu that are not being recorded. Yesem HaShekris Lefnechem Nemar. There's more that was taught. You have it a few times. It's more famously pointed out, V'zavachta kasher tzivisicha. So you shech the animal. You want to eat an animal, shech the way you've been taught. The way I told you. The way Hashem says, the way I told you. Where did we hear about how to shech a non-carbon animal? The answer is, obviously, there were things that were taught that were not recorded. Chumash, Torah Sheba'al Peh. Here's another clue to the Torah Sheba'al Peh. Ha'urim, those hays, ha'urim v'ha'tumim, the urim, the tumim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had either given to Moshe or had explained to Moshe, Kabbalistically, how to write them, but it's never referenced in the Chumash. There's another clue to the Torah Sheba'al Peh. So then he goes on to explain, he had this ksav, and after Aaron is dressed in the ephod, the choshen, he put it in. No one else was involved. And then he goes on to explain, let's see, one more item. One more very obvious question you should ask yourself about the Urim and the Tumim, as they're described in Chumash. Ha'urim v'ha'tumim. If we're talking about a piece of parchment that has Shem Hashem on it, does that sound like, does Ha'urim v'ha'tumim sound like a piece of parchment? A single piece of parchment? The Urim and the Tumim. That's the way you refer to one piece of parchment? How many things, how many pieces are there here? So he says something which the literal meaning of it is way beyond us, but there's a certain essence that we can engage with as well. For inyan hu ki hayushemus kedoshim mikochon yoiru haosios miavni achoshon eni akohen hashol b'mishpatam. Rabban begins to explain that these were holy names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu written on this piece of parchment through which they powered a nes that some of the letters on the Avnei HaChoshen, each of the Avnei HaChoshen had letters, names of the Shvatim, perhaps other letters as well. So some of those letters would light up when you would ask a question of the Urim V'Tumim. The Hamashal, for instance, Kasher Shalu, Miyalalanu Elakanani, B'tchila Lehilachen, very beginning of Sefer Shoftim, who's going to lead, which Shevet will lead us in war? The Kohen Mechavein B'Shemos Sheheim Urim. The Kohen would meditate on those Shemos on the parchment which were the Urim. You'll notice that Ramban said a couple lines ago that there wasn't just a shame, but Shemos, multiple names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu were on this piece of parchment. So he would write, first, he would focus on those names which were Urim. as in to light up. Heiru le'enav osios Yehuda. Yud mi Levi, Ayin mi Shimon, Lamed mi Levi. And hey from Avraham. So, what's going on? So it says in the Tanakh, and begins to say for Shoftim, that they asked this of the Urim V'tumim, and the message that they got from the Urim V'tumim was Yehuda Ya'ale. Yehuda should go first. The Rabban is describing what that meant. It meant he looked at the Kohen, was focused on the Shemos HaUrim, and he looks down at his Choshen, and he sees some of the letters light up. How you get Yehuda Ya'ale? Well, Yehuda is a name on the Choshen. And then it tells you there's another Yud in Levi, there's an Ayin in Shimon, there's a Lamed in Levi, Ya'ale. Where do you get the hay from? So at this point the Rabban says, well, there are two approaches. Some opinions in Chazal have it, as I mentioned before, there were added letters as well, specifically the names of the Avos. So the hay from Avraham, HaKosuv Sham Al Das Rabbi Zain. According to that opinion in Chazal, tells you where to look, the bottom, the Gemara and Yuma and Gimel, so that was the second hay. Otherwise, where's your other hay? None of the other Shvatim have a hay in their name, if you think about it for a moment. So where would the other hay be? Yehuda Ya'ale. Says, O Sheheira Pamacheres Leneged Einav, hey mi Yehuda. Maybe it was blinking. Maybe it flashed twice. Yehuda flashed, and then the other, then you saw the Yud Ayin Lamed, and then the hay flashed, one of the hays of Yehuda flashed again. Interesting way of thinking about it. Now, Hinei Kasher, we're not done. What's the Tumim? Kasher ha'osios me'iros el eni ha'kohen adayin lo yoda siduran. The letter is light up. He doesn't yet know how to organize them. Interesting. You see a lot of jumble of letters, but it is still a puzzle. How do you properly sequence those letters? Gimin ha'osios sheshet sidru behen Yehudi Ya'ale ha'yefshar lasos mehem hoy heid aleha. Oh, hey, Al Yehuda. There are other ways you could have organized those nine letters to give different messages. So how do you know which is the correct encoded message? The Tevas Achayos Rabbis Mill. There are many other collections of words you can make from those nine letters. Aval Hayu Shav Shemos HaKodesh Achayim Nikroim Tumim. Says the Ramban, there were multiple Shemos on that piece of parchment. Some are referred to as the Urim, and those are the ones which powered the lighting up of the letters. And there were another set of Shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on that piece of parchment. Rashi had said before it was Shem HaMafurish. But Ramban, as we've seen, assumes there are multiple Shemos that were written Kabbalistically on this piece of parchment. And some of them were called Tumim. What did they do? If Urim powered the lighting up the letters, the Tumim powered Mikocham Yiyeh Lev HaKohen Tamim V'Yediyas Inyin HaOsios Sheheiru Le'enav. The second set of Shemos on the cloth didn't power the Choshen. They powered the Kohen's perception. They enabled the Kohen to understand what he was looking at. Kikasha Kivein B'Shemos HaUrim V'Heiru Chozrim Yadam Mechavein B'Shemos HaTumim. The Kohen, this, it wasn't just, oh, you look at the Choshen and all of a sudden you know. Namal Rabban is telling us there was a lot of avoda in this. A lot of hisbonus. You're mechavin b'shemos. And the Kohen would need to focus and meditate on certain shemos inside the Choshen, and that would do job number one. We focus on those names that are called Urim, and then he would begin to see, we'd see those letters light up. And then he needed to, once he noticed the letters, he needed to then focus, meditate on the other set of Shemos, the Tumim Shemos. But Odama Osios Meiros Leinav, the letters are still glowing, but when he would be mechaving to the Tumim, suddenly Yavo Belibo Shechiburam Yehuda Ya'ale, he would then understand what he was looking at. The Zos Madrega Madregas Ruach HaKodesh. But what's that? I should just see to understand. It's a certain level of Ruach HaKodesh. Lamata min ha'nevuah ulamala mi baskal. That's below nevuah, but above baskal. Shemishtam shimba v'ayisheni la'acha shepaska ha'nevuah. U'paska u'rumatumim, k'mo she'ezkiru rabbo seinu. He says, there's Nevuah, and then there's levels below Nevuah. The Rambam, the Mor Nevuchim already writes that, the different levels of Nevuah. He says as you get to the sort of the lowest levels of Nevuah, we usually think of those as other things. So as the Ramban says here, you have a very strong, in our terminology, you say if you have great reception, a very strong, clear message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's Nevuah. If it's weaker, it's Ruach HaKodesh. Even weaker is a baskal. What's a baskal? He points out that the Babi Chazal described the baskal being used during the period of the Bayi Sheni. That's an even weaker degree of supernatural communication from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to human beings. And he points out also that's what was used in the Bayi Sheni after the end of Nevuah, which ended at the beginning of the Bayi Shishon, Gemara Zvachim points out, Chagaz Har Malachi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses to send three Nevi'im with us to Eretz Yisrael, and that was the end of Nevuah. Or Vetumim, as we mentioned. That was only a reality in the Bayi Shishon, not in the Bayi Sheni. And tells you where to look, Yuma Chafala from Abayz. But they still had the Baskal. We hear about the Baskal talking about basically Beis Shammai, other situations of Baskal over the course of the Bayi Sheni period and beyond. Two closing thoughts. Number one, the whole notion of items that were not in the Bayi Sheni. So, you know, the Tanakh describes the time of the building of the Bayi Sheni. It was a strangely ambivalent event. The young people were thrilled and were celebrating. The Tanakh tells us that the older people who remembered the Bayis Rishon more than seven decades ago, they were distraught. You call this a Beis HaMikdash. We remember the old days. That was a real Beis HaMikdash. This is a shadow of the second Beis HaMikdash, the shadow of the first Beis HaMikdash. The Tanakh describes that the groaning and crying of the older generation was so loud, like it drowned out to an extent, drowned out the celebration of the younger generation. So you don't have to know, what does this all mean? So the answer is they had built the Beis HaMikdash, and it was, architecturally speaking, in certain ways, perhaps even larger, more imposing, more impressive than the first Beis HaMikdash. And certainly later on, over the course of the second Beis HaMikdash, when Herod renovated, it was absolutely architecturally glorious. But the physical structure was impressive, but the spiritual content had diminished. There was less ruchnius, there was less evident gilui shechina, there were fewer nisim gluyim. There was less ruchnius in the second Beis HaMikdash. And that's why the older generation said, it looks nice, but it's not what we remember. It doesn't yield the same kirvas elokim that we remember from the old days. And part of that, either cause or effect or both, is the fact that the Aron is no longer there. There are no longer luchos residing within the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The luchos, which, as we discussed Thursday night, are the conduit for the Kiddush to convey Kedusha into the Mikdash. There wasn't as much Gilu Shechina. There weren't the Urim V'Tumim, which, as Ramban just described, where the collection of Shemos, either Moshe wrote under direct guidance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or perhaps HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself wrote them, like the Luchos, which were Michtav Elokim, and which were not present in the second Beis HaMikdash. Which again, cause, effect, or both, of the fact that there was less Ruchnius and less Gilui Shechina in the second Beis HaMikdash. And now we begin to appreciate why Urim V'Tumim were missing the second Beis HaMikdash. They also weren't a beged, which is why there wasn't any technical problem. Like, you didn't have any, we discussed Thursday night, if the Aron is not one of the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, you can build the Beis HaMikdash without having an Aron. The Aron was there to house the Luchos. You don't have Luchos, there's no need for an Aron. But at the same time, the Urim V'Tumim also, they weren't a beged. The coin is not Mechusar Begad without the Urim V'Tumim. But the Choshen won't be as spiritually energized without the Urim V'Tumim. And then one closing thought for us. So we hope to see Mirtz Hashem. We should be zochet to see a coin wearing the Urim V'Tumim, as the Piyut describes, very soon. But at this point in our lives, Urim V'Tumim seem like a very... We haven't seen Urim. Klal Yisrael has not seen a Kohen wearing Big Day Kahuna, or any Kohen wearing Big Day Kahuna, certainly not a Kohen Gol wearing Big Day Kahuna. We haven't seen that in probably 2 millennia. Urim V'Tumim we haven't seen in 2.5 millennia. But I think there's something worth considering. Rabban points out there are 2 stages. There's having something that you can see, something you can perceive, and then the ability to understand what it is that you're seeing. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us a message, and then we have to have the insight to be able to read the message, to decode the message that we were talking about before. The Idrei Kayet, the ability to practice a Goren, to be able to filter out the messages that Kadosh Baruch Hu is sending us, that itself is a separate avoda. You have to mechaven to the Urim, you have to mechaven to the Tumim. You have to be able to see what, to daven for messages, to daven for help from Kadosh Baruch Hu, daven intervention, and then to daven that we should be able to appreciate and notice and perceive what it is that Kadosh Baruch Hu is trying to tell us. Both of those, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malacha and our Malacha, are both the key pieces. Again, actual Urim V'Tumim, it's been 2,500 years. But perhaps there's an element of that that is available in our own lives. Not with Nisim Gluyim, but to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only for Urim, but for Tumim, for to be whole people, to be Tamim, as he said, who are able to see and understand the message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us, that's very powerful, and that is something that we can strive for, whether you are a Kohen or not, Bifnei Abayis or Shlo Bifnei Abayis. These are perhaps some of the larger ideas, some of the, as we saw before, a glorious Ramban in terms of taking Psukim that we noticed, and all of a sudden new light, and just noticing little details that were in front of our nose. We never noticed where the Urim V'Tumim doesn't show up. We never noticed the Urim V'Tumim is the Urim V'Tumim from the get-go. Something's going on here. Perhaps we never thought about what's Urim and what's Tumim, which Rashi quotes from Chazal, but what does that mean? Urim, that the interpretation of Urim V'Tumim. And all of a sudden, Rabban says, let me explain to you. There are two sets of words, two sets of shemus on this cloth, and each one had a job, and again, it's, both of them are activated by the coin being mechavein, in the simple sense or in the Kabbalistic sense, being mechavein, focusing, meditating on those shemus, and there were 2 steps to what needed to happen. That the letters should appear, and that we should have the insight, the coin gal should have the insight, and in our own lives, that we should have the insight to recognize what it is that Ribbono Shel Olam is showing to us.